Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and we may be able to finish this ministry on having the mind of Christ this week. We'll see. Anyway, let's now come to an area that sometimes troubles many of God's people. How do you know God's will for your life? And it is God's will for you to know His will for your life, okay? Let's settle that. Don't you think He's not wanting you to walk in ignorance or blindly? There comes a time we just have to walk in faith, and until He gives you new instructions, continue to do what you've been doing. Brother Glass had a slogan, I don't know if he coined it, but he said, when in doubt, don't. And one passage of scripture I've always loved and leaned on is, he that believeth shall not make haste. In other words, God's wise decisions, as you seek the Lord, will be done with a peacefulness, without a sense of urgency or frenzy, like you've got to do it right away. No, he that believeth, has faith, will not make haste. You won't have to be in a hurry. Now, there's times, of course, there may be rather sudden decisions, but if you've been walking with God and seeking God, walk in fear. He will direct your paths. How can you know God's will? I'm going to show you three ways, and it's all straight out of the Word of God. And you might want to write this down and put it in your Bible or on your bathroom mirror or wherever. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Three things. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's number one. Lean not to thine own understanding. That's number two. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's number three. And you know the result of all that, doing those three things? He shall direct thy paths. Words of almost one syllable. Direct is two syllables, but there you go. So in every circumstance, you can know God's will for sure for your life. Your first exercise is that of faith. You believe and accept His word as fact. Some Christians think that the word of God is theory. It's not theory. It's very practical applications for life. Anyone who tells you the Bible and its teachings are theory, just you don't listen. Walk away from them and go where the Word of God is the supreme voice in that church or ministry. So first, we have to trust the Lord with all of our hearts. And then secondly, we don't lean to our own understanding, but we want to acknowledge Him in everything that we do, in all of our ways. So tonight, before you go to bed, take a few moments and look back over what has happened to you today. You might want to write down the negative things, even write down the positive things. Make a comparison so you won't forget it tomorrow when the area is where you were either defeated in or acted in a negative way. Take note, be conscious of what happened in your life, and then take it to God in prayer. In your thoughts, refuse to accept tomorrow those thoughts which defeated you. Well, you're always doing it wrong. I'm not even going to repeat some of the things the devil will say. You know, everybody else is, but we won't go there. I'm sure you can supply your own version of the negative things the enemy will tell you. But if you refuse those thoughts which defeated you and made you act like you shouldn't, or if it brought God's chastening, then don't accept those thoughts anymore. Remember, those thoughts may come. That doesn't mean that you've sinned. It's only when you accept them and confess them that you actually begin to practice them. well, it doesn't, no matter what I do, I'm, you know, born to lose, whatever, whatever kind of negative thing. Sometimes we end up almost cursing ourselves. And Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority over those strongholds, those habit patterns of years. And I proclaim, Lord, your word, which is quick and powerful and sharp as any two-edged sword, will deliver your people right now. Father, we refuse with our hearts, we desire to have a thought life that is the mind of Christ, a thought life that you will approve. And so that it won't be a seedbed for all kinds of negative thinking and negative actions, because out of our thoughts, our actions speak. And so, Lord, we're asking for your help, your healing, your protection, your forgiveness, and Father, that today can begin a new day in our lives, in Jesus' name. So, you know, these are very important subjects. How do we know the will of God? How do we know when God's voice is speaking to us? Well, we trust in the Lord. We acknowledge him in all of our ways. We know that he wants to lead us. It says, I think it's in Psalms, he leads us in a plain path because of our enemies. We're not on an obstacle course. He's not putting things before us. The Lord isn't. The enemy may. But he's not wanting to block our forward progress. The Holy Spirit gets very, very excited when we respond to this, to his Spirit, his prompting, the godly wisdom of the Word of God. So we need to take control of our thoughts to bring our lives in harmony with God's Word. There can't be anything that you're doing consciously, deliberately, that is out of harmony with God's Word, and to ask God for his wisdom. Remember that scripture I shared yesterday? He doesn't upbraid us. He doesn't condemn us, but he gives liberally. And then we practice or meditate in God's Word. Beloved, it takes a lifetime to perfect all these Christian disciplines, if you will. But if we refuse to accept those thoughts which bring fear and worry and anxiety and hate and anger and disharmony with God's Word, those thoughts which create a frenetic activity on our part in our Christian testimony, that's not good. And we know that God's Word states that God is not the author of confusion. Our ways should be ways of peace, love, joy, gentleness, goodness, right? Meekness, temperance, long-suffering. Against such there is no law. God is not the author of confusion. And so if God is dealing with you concerning something he's not pleased with, he will move on you by his Spirit, and you will feel convicted, but you won't be accused. You won't feel condemned. You won't feel like God has slammed the door of his kingdom in your face. And you won't feel like you've sinned against the Holy Ghost. If you were, you wouldn't even care. That's the point, someone who's blaspheming the Holy Ghost. You won't feel like like everyone's against you. You won't feel negative about yourself. You'll feel the Holy Spirit's conviction. But most importantly, you will feel the Heavenly Father bring you into the reach of his chastenings, but you will also feel his love, and you will know that you did wrong, and you will know that although you're being chastened, he's calling your attention to it. You're not being required to go over your old life all over again, drag up the past, and be made to feel so unworthy that you just really want to give up and die. That is not the Holy Spirit. And how can I say this? You will have, if I can use this term, a healthy attitude of repentance in your heart. You will be extremely sorry for the wrongdoing. Why? Because you've hurt the heart of God. And there's nothing, I don't know that there's any punishment that could be greater than that, to feel that you've hurt your precious Savior. I don't know about you, that can just undo me. That when I think of the things that I have done since I've become a Christian, you know, when I was unsaved, I didn't know any better. I wasn't even convinced there was a God. And of course, that whole lifestyle that we did before we were saved is in opposition to God. But to see, the point I'm making is that our hearts should be grieved that we've hurt the Lord. And the important thing is, regardless of what's going on, we will know of a surety that God does love us and that this is for your good and for your growth. And the difference between God convicting you for an act that displeases him and is wrong, is sin, and the way the devil attacks you with condemnation is that God does his chastening in love and doesn't create that feeling of desperation or fear or feeling like you're being thrown out from his presence and are unworthy. The Holy Spirit, I don't know if you've discovered this, he's very happy. He's a happy individual. And he is always looking to turn any negativity, either in thought or action, toward a positive thrust or movement toward our future. Well, a scripture, all things work together for good. Even those failures, even those things you, when you really blew it, they're working for your good. I mean, don't argue with me. That's what the word says. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God made you worthy, beloved, through his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, I just sense some of those bondages, some of those feelings you've been having, some of you are going right now in the name of Jesus. Father, let your love, your presence just saturate and overflow their hearts, their spirits, with your comfort and strength and peace. Satan, on the other hand, what is his attack? Diametrically opposed. He'll attack your thoughts with all manner of degrading, fearful thoughts, and you'll feel so unworthy. You just want to crawl off somewhere in a hole. But God says, if you've fallen short, if you've done wrong, there may be chastening, but you are mine, and I love you with an everlasting love. I forgive you. He wants you to just come into his arms of love and return to the place of his affection and love, security, and well-wishing, nurturing of you. That's the heart of our God. So I hope these words are so inadequate, but I hope you understand God's heart toward you, how much he loves you, and he's going to help you. He promised. And if you need extra support, I'm here for you. The announcer will give our contact information. I invite you to write. You know, I can speak out of experience too, okay? I'm never preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. How's that? I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.